Heavenly Father, please soften our hearts and open our minds to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. So we're starting a new five-week series today on what appears to be God's highest priority for us. When a baby is born, we see it in its parents' eyes. When a soldier lays down his life, we see it. When someone with dementia is cared for by her husband, day after day, year after year, we see it. When an inner-city teacher demonstrates passion, transforming a child's life, we see it. When a 10-year-old African-American recently offered free hugs at a protest march and a big old white cop wrapped his arms around him, we see it. When a cold heart melts and a marriage that was headed for disaster is renewed, we see it. And when we see it, we name it love. Jesus is pretty clear. Love is the measure of our lives. Love matters. Love is what God asks of us. We could paraphrase perhaps that reading from St. Paul. Though I have more Facebook friends than Stephen Fry, though I got a BSc from Cambridge, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Though I start up a multi-million pound company, though I have great hair, white teeth, and low body fat, though I have a successful referendum campaign, if I don't have love, I am nothing. God's maths, everything minus love equals nothing. But have nothing and add love, and in God's eyes, we have everything. We're called by God to be an unusually loving community. Unusually loving in human terms, but actually quite normal for God. Now, if your aim is to be more physically fit, you probably join a gym. But if you want to grow in your capacity to love, where should you go? Well, in my view, you're in the right place this morning. God's love, as modeled by Jesus, was so radical that his followers had to find a word for it. And in fact, they procured a Greek word, agape, and they inhabited that word, demonstrating to everyone around them the quality of Jesus' love. God's love, as modeled by Jesus, has extraordinary power. This agape love, says Paul in Corinthians, never fails. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Paul says. God's love overcomes evil with good, and you and I can live in this agape love. So in each of these 5 weeks, we'll be looking at God's love, how God speaks his love to us, and how we can speak and reflect that love to him and to others. We're going to be looking at the language he uses in his love for us. And you might have heard of a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. We base most of our marriage course on it, in fact, which is interesting. But the premise is that we each have specific ways in which we most readily offer love to other people and receive it as well. Chapman identifies five love languages. For some of us, it's words. We like to speak and hear words of love. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's great for you when somebody says, "I'm proud of you. I love you." For some, it's spending quality time. If you hang out with your spouse or a member of your friendship group, then you feel loved because of the time you've spent together. For some people, it's receiving and giving gifts. Maybe you're really creative about the gifts and thoughtful about the gifts that you give to people on their birthdays and at other times. Others value acts of service as a way of expressing and receiving love. When I do something for you, I wash your car, you feel good. And for others, it's physical touch, that embrace, that pat on the back, that hug that makes you feel loved. Maybe you can recognize yourself in one or more of those five love languages. And when I got married and had children, I hadn't heard about the love languages. And I just assumed that if I praised and encouraged my children enough, let them know that I loved them, that would be fine. After all, I loved it when my own mum and dad praised me and told me they loved me. But how wrong I was. You see, one of my three children is very much like me. She needs loving words of encouragement to fill her love tank. But one of them, and I won't tell you which one, it seems can take it or leave it if I praise that child. But if I spend an hour with that child, hanging out, playing cards, then they feel loved by me. And I'll tell you about the third one another week. So we're going to have a look at how these love languages play out with God, how Jesus expresses his love to us. This morning we're going to be looking at words, the words that God uses to express his love for us. How many of you feel your heart swell when you get a little verbal encouragement? You feel a little taller when somebody says, "I'm proud of you." Paul says in Ephesians 4, "Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Watch the way you talk." How's that going with you and me? This is going to require a little more work, isn't it? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt," we were told. But that was written by somebody whose love language was not words of affection. Paul says, "Say only what helps, each word a gift." So my natural language is words of affirmation. If you want to make me feel good, encourage me. If you want to make me feel lousy, it's really easy, I can tell you. And this is why it's so important to discover the love language that we have and the other people in our lives so that our relationships can be transformed with God and with each other. So in the book of Proverbs, we heard the right word at the right time is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And a wise friend's timely reprimand is like a gold ring slipped on your finger. If words are your love language, you will remember vividly getting a word like that from somebody. A sincere word of encouragement from a friend. Of course, sincerity is the key there, isn't it? Recently went to a restaurant and a waiter was complimenting me on the choice I made for the wine. "Oh, a very good choice, sir." And then he complimented me on the choice I made for my starter. "Oh, excellent Doble, sir. Very good choice, sir. Very good choice." By the time I got to the place where the choice was tiramisu or cheese, I'd had enough. I said, "Do you ever tell somebody that's a really stupid choice, sir?" And the waiter then admitted that his manager had given him a list of compliments to use as diners chose their courses. Now, that's not sincere love. This is just pumping up my ego to get more money out of me. And it might have worked if he'd used it slightly more sparingly. But Jesus was the master of speaking sincere words of love. Sometimes an encouraging word, that apple of gold in a setting of silver. But often, very challenging words. Still a gold ring slipped on our finger. What are the very first words involving love in Mark's gospel? Well, interestingly, they're not spoken by Jesus. They were words spoken to Jesus. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water of baptism, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit ascending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." If you want to see that in glorious technicolor, go to Stuntney Church in the brand new window put in there in 1927, depicted beautifully in color. "You are my beloved Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." You see, Jesus was rooted in that love, in that confidence, for the whole of his ministry. He knew where he stood with his Father. He knew where he stood with God. And immediately after hearing those words, where did he go? He went into the wilderness for 40 days. And that was the voice he listened to. There was another voice, the devil, trying to knock him off his perch. "Make bread from these stones. Now that would be a very good choice, sir. Throw yourself down and prove you're God. Now that would be an excellent option, sir." But he listened to God. And then having overcome the tempter in the wilderness, he began 3 years of ministry that would ultimately see death beaten and God's kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. Quite a program to fulfill. And what did he do? Every morning, really early in the morning, we're told, when it was still dark, he goes off to be alone, so that he could hear that voice of love all over again. This is my son, with whom I am well pleased. We heard it in our Matthew reading, in the Transfiguration, and we heard it in the Mark reading, in the baptism. Jesus hears that, we know, at least three times in his life, but probably every single morning of his life. So for you and for me, it's important that we understand that the most significant words for us this week will not be the ones that we say, they'll not be the ones that I say, they'll be the ones that we hear. When God says to you and to me, you are my daughter, you are my son, I love you so much. When we take ourselves off to a place where we can be alone with Jesus, where is that place for you? Have you got that place established? When we take ourselves off to that place with vulnerability and humility and a desire to be made clean afresh by him, he will say to us, here is my daughter, here is my son, with you I am well pleased. What a thing to hear from God. God says, can a mother forget the infant at her breast, walk away from the baby she bore? But if even mothers forget, I'd never forget you, says God. Never. Look, I've written your names on the back of my hands. God is saying to us that every day we stop to hear him, our names are on the back of his hands. When Jesus went to the cross, the back of his hands were literally scarred out of love for each one of us. Your name was engraved on his hands at the cross. These words of Jesus to you matter. These are words of forgiveness. They are words of love. They're words of confidence and security. They are words that inspire courage. God's words spoken over us really matter. They are like apples of gold in settings of silver. And even when he reprimands us, it is still like a gold ring slipped on our finger. Can we pray for a moment? And then I've got one or two other things to say. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of your love. Thank you that you express that love to us in words, in touch, in gifts, in service, and in time. And this week, we especially thank you for your words of affirmation, your words of love to us. Come, Holy Spirit. In this room today, Lord, there will be hearts that have been really wounded, really scarred, really hurt by other people's words. So please help us put ourselves in a place where we can hear you say to us, this is my child with whom I am well pleased. Come, Holy Spirit. Help us, Heavenly Father, to understand what love looks like and where our hearts have got hard and stony. Please melt them. Come, Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be a church where love just radiates like light. Be in our hands and in our mouths and our hearts. Make this a place where love really rules. Mold us into an unusually loving congregation. Come, Holy Spirit. And most of all, thank you so much that you loved us and sent Jesus, and that we can come to you, vulnerable, humble, yes, sinful, but be put right. And we can hear you say that this is my child, with you I am well pleased. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we go out from this service, it'll be time to practice that loving. It's great to learn something in our heads, but we come to love and be loved by God and each other. So when the service is over, can I invite you to take a few moments and practice saying some words of love? Apples of gold in settings of silver. I'm glad you're here. Are you new here? Come through and I'll get you a coffee. I really enjoyed your singing. And with those closer to us during the week, see which of our family and friends have words as their love language and pay some compliments, honest and sincere. You make me laugh. I love that. I love the way you encouraged our grandchild. We might need to practice some humble words of love too. I'm sorry I didn't handle that well. Did I hurt you last night? Apples of gold in settings of silver. But most of all, I implore all of you, all of us, to put ourselves regularly where we can hear God speaking words of love to us during this week. It's called prayer. It's called reading the Bible, the Gospels especially. If you want any help with that, please let me know. And then next week, we'll move on to God's second love language, which is time. Amen.